2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 16 through 24. We'll begin reading at verse 16. But thanks to God. The word thanks is the word charis. It's the word for grace. Literally is translated, and grace to God. The one who is giving the same diligence on behalf of you in the heart of Titus. Because indeed he received the encouragement. And being more diligent, he went willingly to you. The word willingly, King James says, of his own accord. Voluntarily or willingly, he went to you. And we sent with him the brother, of whom is the praise in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not only this, but also he had been chosen. The word chosen in Greek means to raise your hand and vote by the churches. As our fellow traveler with this grace, which is being ministered by us, to or for the glory of the same Lord, and for your readiness, which is literally translated eagerness. Avoiding this, that someone should not blame us in this bounty or abundance which is being ministered by us. While providing good things, not only before or in the presence of the Lord, but also in the presence or before man. And we sent with them our brother, whom we proved in many things often, being diligent, and now much more diligent, based on the confidence, the great confidence which is towards you. Whether on behalf of Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for you. Whether our brothers, these are apostles of churches. The word messengers is literally the word apostles. They are the messengers of churches and glory of Christ. Therefore, show, or more literally, demonstrate the evidence or proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Demonstrate it or show it unto them and before the face or for the presence of the churches. We're in this section where Paul is ministering about the collection to the saints. We're learning the basic principles of giving. I'm going to make a statement to you and that I'm going to continue to repeat, but now is the time to make it, and I'm going to explain it so that you don't misunderstand me. According to the scriptures and what Paul is presenting here, the proof of one's spirituality or maturity in Christ is gauged on one's giving. The giving of ourself, the giving of our time, the giving of our possessions, whatever the case may be. Spiritual maturity is gauged, or the proof of it is gauged by giving. Now, giving does not dictate spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is dictated by giving. In other words, people can give large amounts of money. People can dedicate their possessions, even their time to church work. But that doesn't mean they are spiritually mature. But a spiritually mature person will realize that Christ has redeemed our time. Our time is not ours. We cannot do with it as we wish. It's in service to Christ, and it's seeking Him and learning of Him. It all belongs to Him. But this is interesting about relationship. Relationship is about giving to the Lord what is already His. I'm relinquishing the control of my own life because He purchased me. He allows this process to be worked out. When I first received Jesus Christ, I'm not sensitive to the fact that all of my time belongs to Christ. I'm not sensitive to the fact that He purchased me, that I'm no longer my own, that He wants me to deny myself and take up my cross daily and follow Him, that everything that I earn, notice, I earn, or that I acquire is mine. If He wants a percentage of it, that's fine, but I don't have the realization that everything that I am allowed to earn or acquire has been given to me by God. But as you grow in Christ, you begin to get the message. That giving, as Paul is mentioning to the Christians in Corinth, prove the genuineness of your love. It can't just be in words. It must be in life. It must be in action. And Paul is asking for proof. Paul is asking for them to prove the genuineness of their love. We've studied two aspects of giving. And as I mentioned to you before, 10 times in chapters 8 and 9, the word grace is mentioned. He doesn't mention collection. He doesn't mention money. He calls it grace. God graces us. We grace Him with thanksgiving. We grace others. We share that grace that God has shared with us. It's called a favor. We will see next week when we get into the principles of giving in chapter 9 that it says, he who sows a blessing will receive a blessing. He calls it blessing. You want God to bless your life? Give. Be a giver. If you keep, God's not going to bless you. He'll say, okay, you want to keep it? I'll find a way for you to spend it. Find a way for the waste of that. If you're not going to give it, I'll find a way. You're going to keep it for yourself. I'll find a way for you to have to spend it. Then you'd be really frustrated. But God graces us. We grace Him. So it's translated thanks. You see, grace is a response. God pours out His favor and grace upon us. He doesn't have to. There's no rules and regulations to say He needs to bless us with anything. I mean, after all, just salvation in Jesus Christ, that's enough. He doesn't owe us anything. But He graces us. He favors us. He blesses us. With the view and the hope that in the future we're exposed so much to His grace and exposed so much to His love that it'll be a reaction back to Him. Lord, You've graced me. I grace You. You've blessed me. I think well of You. I speak well of You. I can't give God anything. All I can do is thank Him out of grace. All I can do is love Him out of the same love with which He loved me. I have no capacity to produce it. This week, went out of town for a couple of days and had a chance to fellowship with some people, and it was great to get into the Word. The topic came up about being brainwashed, and I says, you know, in a sense, that's exactly what everybody does. It's just they just don't do it in the right way. The Bible says that we are to meditate in the Word of God day and night. Be totally saturated with it. Have it govern our thoughts. Have it govern our decision making. Everything that's in the Word of God. To be constantly exposed to it. To be exercised by it so that we can tell between what is of the Lord and what isn't. And I got to thinking, you know, we are brainwashed. We're brainwashed by the world. We're brainwashed by the philosophy of our jobs. We're brainwashed by the dictates of our own flesh and its desires. So the encouragement of the Word of God to completely immerse yourself in God's Word. Be a walking Word of God. Notice I didn't say Bible, because many people have memorized the Bible and they quote it And that's all they do. They're like robots. They just quote scripture all the time. There's no life in it because there's no life in the book. But when we are in the Word of God and we're studying spiritual truth and we have a relationship and fellowship with Jesus Christ, it is personal. It's powerful. It's life-changing. It's life-transforming. And to be able to share that with others when they ask is a great opportunity that God gives to us. But giving is a gauge, Paul says, of the genuineness of your love. And he calls them and encourages them to show proof, show evidence of your relationship with the Lord. We saw in chapter 8 two things. Number one, we saw the philosophy of giving, verses 1 through 7. Verse 5, the philosophy of giving is that first give yourself to the Lord, and then Paul says the Macedonians gave themselves to us through the will of God. So seek the Lord as to what the Lord's will is for your life. He is the one that you serve. So seek Him. Lord, I'm the steward of your time. I'm the steward of this body, which is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm the steward of all the things that you've allowed me to acquire and possess. What would you have me to do? Paul says the only reason they gave themselves to us and the need in Jerusalem is through the will of God. It's because that was God's will for their life. Secondly, verses 8 through 15, the premise of giving. The premise of giving. It was not according to command. There is no command because this is a relationship. There's no rules. Not according to command, but he says, I share with you the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How he became poor, he chose the poor route so that we could become spiritually rich. And so he used Jesus as an example of how we are to live our life. It's the giving up of ourselves for the spiritual enrichment of others. That's what it's all about. But in verse 12, the principles of the premise of giving is number one, if the readiness or eagerness is there, that has to be number one. A person has to be eager, has to be ready to serve the Lord with whoever they are and whatever they have. And the second principle in the premise of giving, verse 12, the second thing is for you to give out of what you have, not out of what you don't have. So there has to be a readiness, a willingness. And secondly, it's not measured in amounts, large amount, small amount. I keep thinking of the little boy's lunch when there were 15,000 people. The little boy had a couple of loaves of bread and a couple of fish. The disciple said, what's that among so many? Jesus said, just give me the lunch. And he can multiply, he can use anything. It's not measured in amounts. It's measured in the heart response. It's measured in the giving. For today, the performance of giving. Next week, we'll take chapter 9, the principles of giving. He's leading up to that. In the performance of giving, the performance of giving is the proof. We'll see three of them today. First of all, verses 16 and 17, he says, I give thanks to God. Again, the word thanks is the word grace. Paul says, I grace God. How can you grace God? I don't know. How can you bless Him? How do you bless God? The word blessing means to speak well of Him. He blesses me. He has a favorable expression towards me. He wants me to have a favorable expression back to Him. He wants me to speak well of Him. He graces me. He ministers to me out of His favor. He wants me to respond back to Him out of favor, not out of law, not out of rules and regulations. He wants me to respond to Him out of grace. He says, I thank God who has given the same diligence for you in the heart of Titus. God's grace gave this diligence. Spoudē is the Greek word for diligence, and it literally means priority. to make haste, to make it top priority. So he says, only by God's grace can God place in someone's heart the top priority for the spiritual or even material benefit of other believers. He says, grace be to God, because His grace provided the same diligence for you in the heart of Titus. Because, verse 17, here's why he says that. Because he received the encouragement. Remember, Paul encouraged Titus to go back and finish the work which he began, and Titus is discouraged. We'll see in a moment that because of the confidence now towards the Christians in Corinth, Titus was willing to go back and finish the collection for the saints in Jerusalem. He wasn't too encouraged to do that before, but he received the encouragement. Being more diligent, he went to you willingly or voluntarily. Of his own accord. He says, I want to go. I'm eager to go. And he made it even more of a top priority to say, I need to make the trip and to go to Corinth and take up this grace, as Paul is calling it, this gift of grace. It's called a gift, or more literally, grace, because people were moved by grace to give. So it's not called money. And it's translated gift in the English text, but it's literally the word grace. Grace, God's grace moved upon them, touched their hearts to say, we want to give. Please, let us be a part of this. And so it was called an act of grace, because there are no laws, there are no rules, and there are no regulations. But Titus was proven. He was found to be ready. God's grace touched his heart, and God put in his heart this diligence. Man didn't talk him into it. So Paul says, grace to God, because God's grace is at work in Titus's heart. Titus willingly, voluntarily, has a desire to be even more diligent about this matter than he was before. Secondly, beginning verse 18 and going through verse 22, two things about the proving of others. And we sent with him the brother. Now we do not know who this is. But they sent the brother with Titus to accompany him. And it says of this brother, who is the praise in the gospel through all the churches. So it is a brother who is known by the churches and praise is given upon this person's behalf to God in the function or operation of the gospel throughout all the churches. It is very important for Paul that Christians prove themselves and be proven in order to serve Christ. Remember in Acts chapter 6, the Hellenistic or Greek-speaking Jews were being overlooked in the distribution of bread. Remember last week I told you the early church functioned on the basis that people came with their paychecks, people came with their possessions and their money and gave it to the church. And the church in turn turned around and distributed to people as they had need. Now you might have earned $1,000 a week, but your need was only $400 a week. You only get $400. As we shared last week, the important thing was equality. So that those who have left over, they get what they need, but then their finances go towards the people that don't have enough. So that everybody in the body of Christ is equal. That's what Paul has been ministering in this chapter, equality. Not that giving should be a hardship for you. You give out of what you have, not out of what you don't have. But it is interesting that Paul, even in the early church, that they said in order to take care of the distribution of the food for the Hellenistic community, is that they said, choose out amongst you brothers, men, who have a testimony of being filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And even in the distribution of bread, no matter what the Lord's work is, no matter what is involved in serving Christ, there must be a testimony within the Christian community about that person. That yes, they're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and yes, the testimony of their walk with Christ has been proven. Dokimazo is the word for testing or proven. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, he talked about us being kept by the power of God for salvation. And he went on to say, in this we do rejoice, even though for a short time that we must grieve. For the testingness of the genuineness of our faith, the word genuineness is the word dokimos or dokimazo for testing. To approve after testing. That's the word used for the testing of metals. After going through the fire, has it been proven to be genuine, the genuine metal it was supposed to be? Christians are put through the testing process. We are proven. Paul always looked for brothers and sisters, always looked at the body of Christ for what is proven. That is, who the person is after testing. How do they respond to the trial? How do they respond to what God put them through? Do they have the testimony of being filled with the Holy Spirit and submitted to Christ? Those are the people who have been approved after testing. And those are the ones who are entrusted with the Lord's work. We're so easy in the body of Christ today in church work to find volunteers. Hey, you want to volunteer to teach? Got a bunch of kids in the back, you know. We need somebody to watch them, you know. Here's a booklet, go teach them. We don't look for, nor do we ask for proven people. People who have the Holy Spirit laying upon their heart the concern for the children. The Holy Spirit blessing their heart and they have an approved walk with Christ. So that they can be entrusted with this, knowing that as the challenge comes from Satan, they're going to keep walking with the Lord. They've already proved themselves. We know these brothers and sisters that when Satan attacks, they just keep going. They just keep walking with the Lord. We know their faithfulness. We know their testimony. Those are the people that you entrust. Doesn't make a difference if it's the janitor or the gardener or the Sunday school teacher. We're always looking for volunteers. We're always looking to put people to work. But in the Scriptures, it is important what kind of testimony that person has for that function and for that ministry within the body of Christ, no matter what it is. It doesn't make any difference what it is. On the other hand, it does make a difference. Every single function in service to Christ must be somebody who has been approved after testing, somebody who has a testimony. This brother who was sent with Titus, praise was to God for this brother in the work of the gospel through all the churches. And not only that, verse 19, but he was chosen also by the churches as our fellow traveler. The word chosen means to raise the hand to vote. Now, lest people get the wrong idea, and I think this is where some of our friends got the idea about voting in church. Actually, it has to do with a designation of what, of your expression of what God wants by the raising of hands. For instance, when this church was without a pastor and the church congregation at the time wanted me to pastor the church, I said, here's the only basis upon which I will serve. Is if there's 100% agreement amongst the members of the church that this is God's will, that this is God's appointment, that He wants me to serve here as pastor. And how we designated it was, how many of you believe that God's Spirit is leading? They raised their hands. I told them, I will not serve here if you vote me in. You know, how many want him? Okay, 15 want him, 10 don't, so you're in. Now, what happens if the 10 were right? What happens if the 10 express the will of God? This is not a democratic function that God has given to us. But basically, an orderly way of showing of hands, rather than taking each person individually, it's just an orderly way. How many of you believe, you know, that God's Spirit is leading this way? They would show hands. How about this brother, sending this brother with Titus? We know that praise is given for him throughout all the churches. But through many churches, notice it was multiple that the church congregation says, yeah, he's the man to send. And it wasn't because they voted him in, but by a show of hands, it was a demonstration or expression of the church about the testimony of this brother. I can remember we had a brother once that, actually several brothers and sisters over the years who expressed their own calling of God. Nobody else in the body of Christ could see it, nor could they bear testimony to it. But they presented themselves as either a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor or whatever the case may be. And they actually got miffed when the testimony in the body of Christ could not verify that. Couldn't bear witness to their testimony, didn't know them. In fact, we've had people come here that were musicians and teachers and Sunday school teachers, and they said, well, here's my gift in the body of Christ. And I say, well, just come and be part of the family. Be part of the family, fellowship, learn about the Lord, because that's the main thing we do, is learn about, you know, growing the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then, as you begin to function in the family, as God begins to point out what function God wants you to perform in this fellowship, it'll become evident. They don't like that. It's like, do you want me to play the piano or not? I'm going to another church because that's what I do. If they're going to put me to work, I'll go there. If you're not going to put, they're not interested in fellowship. They're not interested in allowing God's Spirit to testify. Even Paul himself, in Acts chapter 13, did not go on his first missionary journey until God's Spirit moved upon the fellowship of believers, where God's Spirit says, "Separate for me, Paul, and for the ministry of a missionary journey." Now, Paul already received a calling from God to do that. But it is interesting, he waited and he went by the testimony of God's Spirit in the body of Christ. One thing we cannot do is we can't trust ourselves. We might think we have an anointing or we have a calling or we hear from God. But if God's Spirit doesn't bear witness to that, in the rest of the body of Christ, we have to take note of that. That's one of our great safety valves within the body of Christ. Is if God's telling me this about myself, He's also going to be telling other people the same thing. So I look for the testimony of that because I could be deceiving my own self. And that's very important. In the early church, they went by testimony. They went by approval. That is, approving of people in service to Christ who have gone through testing, challenges by Satan, and they came out trusting the Lord. They didn't fall back. They didn't quit. They didn't stop following the Lord. They stayed faithful. Those are the people who have been approved after testing that the early church, and especially Paul, put in positions of ministry. So not only was praise given throughout all of the churches, plural, for this man, but also there was a show of hands amongst the churches, plural, saying, we agree, this brother should be our fellow traveler, Paul said, verse 19, with this grace, some translations say gift. Again, he mentions the word grace, which is being ministered by us for two things, for the glory of the same Lord, and secondly, for your readiness or eagerness. So based on your eagerness and the fact that we all are serving the same glory of the Lord Himself, we took this brother on. Now there are two participles, one in verse 20 and one in verse 21, that go with the verb in verse 18 when it says, we sent with him the brother. We sent with him. We sent him based upon the praise and the expression of vote within the body of Christ to be our fellow traveler, but also avoiding this, verse 20, that not anyone should blame us in this abundance. The Greek word here for this word for abundance means an overabundance. This was a very rich collection that was given for the saints in Jerusalem, for this bounty or abundance, which is being ministered by us. He says, we wanted, first of all, we sent Titus and this brother, and by doing this, we were avoiding anyone blaming us in the abundance of this ministry that was being ministered by us. And secondly, by doing this, it was providing good things, not only before the right things. Kala has to do with that, those are which are correct, the right things, not only before the Lord, but also before man. So he says, we are moderating, we are the ones encouraging and instructing about this collection, but we need brothers who have been proved to be faithful and trustworthy, who could take the bounty of this grace collection to the saints so that nobody can blame us, because there is an accountability factor here. People give and they say, here is a designated offering. I want to give an offering to help the church over in Australia. How do you know your money even gets there? How do you know that the gift of $1,000 didn't leave here $1,000, and by the time it got there, only $400 made it? What happened to the other $600? How do you know it's even used for the church? How do you know there's even a church over in Australia? So Paul says it's important that we send these brothers, but the brothers can't just be anybody. They have to have a testimony in the church. And so that we're not blamed, we're avoiding blame by sending other people to oversee this offering of yours. And secondly, it's providing for us right things before the Lord and before man, so that everything can be accounted for. And then secondly, in verse 22, he says, and we sent with them our brother, who we proved. Here's our word, dokimazo. We approved of him after testing. We proved him in many things often, being diligent. And not only this, but even now, even much more diligent, based on or by the confidence, the great confidence which is towards you. So we have confidence now towards you that you have a willing heart, that you're going to do the very thing that you said you would do. So Titus and this brother, they want to come in order to make this collection, because now they have confidence that it's going to take place. I don't know if you know it or not, and I'm sure you've experienced a lot of discouragement with other brothers and sisters in Christ. I hate to break the bad news to you and cause you to face reality, this sad reality today, but not all Christians do what they say they're going to do. Just the way it is. And Paul said, Christians in Corinth said that they were going to participate with the giving towards the saints in Jerusalem. Titus comes back and goes, those carnal people? They can't tell the difference between emotional experience and the Spirit of God. And you expect them to be responsible and to be giving? Paul had to encourage him. Said, Titus came back and said, well, I just visited them again and they're ready. They have a readiness, an eagerness. They're even begging us, let us participate. It's like, when do you have a Christian coming up saying, please let me give? You know? And so this was encouragement. So Titus and this brother went, now having confidence, great confidence towards them. Verses 23 and 24, now the proof. Now it comes time for the proof for the Christians in Corinth. He says, whether on behalf of Titus, he is my partner. That's the word koinonia, koinonos, actually the noun part of the term expressing partner. Somebody who has common with me. He says, he's my common partner in the gospel and fellow worker for you. Whether our brothers, they are messengers of churches. They are also the glory of Christ. Therefore, based on this, verse 24, show or demonstrate your proof. This word is not the word dokimazo, but it's the word for evidence. Show the evidence of your love. In other words, don't just say it. Now it's time to function. That's the difference between a mature Christian and an immature Christian. An immature Christian talks a big walk, but can't hold up under the challenge when Satan attacks. A mature believer is somebody who walks the talk. He says, okay, prove it. Present evidence of the genuineness of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. He says, we've boasted about you. We said, they're ready. They'll come through. You just wait and see. There's probably some brothers going, yeah, right. You know how those Christians in Corinth are. Paul says, present evidence to back up our boasting for you. Present evidence that backs up your love for Christ and your love for the brethren. By demonstrating this to them, that is the brethren who come, and before the face of the churches, plural. The important thing here to realize, and next week we'll start and we'll get into the principles of giving. It's the only place in Scripture, both 1 Corinthians 9 and 2 Corinthians 9 talk about giving, the teaching on giving for a believer. So we'll get into that next week. But it is important that we emphasize to you that Paul is emphasizing grace. We are saved by grace, not out of works. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift of God. God's work in our hearts and lives as believers is grace, not rules and regulations. The Lord is bringing us into a sensitivity to become functional stewards of the time, possessions, physical body that He's given to us to be stewards with, to make the decisions. Not to make the effort, but to make the decisions. Either we're going to be in submissive to God's Spirit and be in service to Christ in the issues of life, or we're going to try to work things out ourselves the way we want them to be worked out. God's grace poured out on us, we grace Him back. God's grace poured out on us, we share that grace with others. God just keeps pouring out spiritually and physically and materially upon us to where we just can't stand it anymore. Got to share it. Because God has shared it with us. But it takes relationship. There are no rules and regulations. Some people need rules to go by as far as discipline goes. Some people love to tithe. Great. It's a good discipline. It's not a rule. But even then, like I said before, that in the age of grace, that's actually an affront to God, because that's only 10%. So that means 90% is mine, you know, to do with as I please. When in reality, we're stewards of everything. Everything that God gives us. Our time, the physical existence here on the earth with our physical bodies, with the possessions and materials that He gives us, no matter how great or how small, it's all in service to Christ. Seeking Him and the leadership of His grace so that it will minister grace to the hearers. The greatest desire that a believer should have is that people would receive and be touched by the grace of God through their life, whether it's something, giving something physically, food, water, finances, time, encouragement. It's not what you want to be, but the greatest desire for a believer should be that people would be touched by God's grace through my life. The thanksgiving would be given to God because they receive from Christ through me. So now Paul has laid the foundation, the philosophy of giving, the premise or basis for giving, and the performance of giving. Next week we'll get into the principles of giving as we seek to understand the Lord's function in our heart and how He wants us to function in service to Christ. Let's join together for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You again for another time, another hour with Your Word, that Your Word does minister grace to our hearts and reveals to us the grace of God and the leading and moving of God's grace to move in us and through us, how we desire the flow of God's Spirit in us and through us to not only cleanse and refresh and build up our own relationship with Jesus Christ, but to be poured out on others around us. We pray that You'd free us from the rules and regulations and at the same time draw us into more of a relationship with Jesus Christ our Lord and be exposed to more of His grace, His favor upon us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.